being single, being young, there's a lot of just different things that we fall into and sins that we fall into and things that we do. I just made some really dumb mistakes.
Yeah, it cost me my job. It cost me my dream. It cost me my relationship. Even through all those mistakes, I loved God. And I just kept loving Him.
Y'all, I'm Jennifer Mosquera, and this is Love, Hope, and Stories. I am super honored to have my friend Dusty Bean as a guest storyteller today. Me and Dusty go way back. Even though it's been a while since I've seen him or talked to him, this interview was so much fun because he's the kind of friend you can just pick right back up where you left off. I hope you feel like you're sitting on the porch swing, listening to two old friends shoot the breeze about the love of God. I have one quick story before I let you hear the interview. If you know me in real life, if you've ever been in any of the college groups I've ever led or a small group or anything like that, if you've known me as a friend in real life, and you've ever heard me say, don't think about it, just do it, I got that from Dusty Bean. One Friday night, we were sitting in the cafeteria at school. Dusty and I attended Southwestern Assemblies of God University back in the late 90s, and we were sitting Friday night thinking about, you know, what's everybody doing? Where's everybody going? And there was a ministry group that went out to Deep Ellum down in downtown Dallas, and they just street witnessed, just met random people on the street and tried to, you know, pick up a conversation and put Jesus in there somewhere. And so I was new to campus, and this was one of the first Friday nights that nothing really was happening. There was no plans. And I was eating dinner with a bunch of friends, and Dusty happened to be at the table, and he was like, hey, Jenny, why don't you go out to Deep Ellum with us? And I was like, oh, I don't know, street witnessing? I don't know. That just is kind of hokey. I don't know. That's weird. And he just looked at me, and he said, Jenny, don't think about it. Just do it. And I was like, okay, let's go. So we got in his truck that you'll hear us talk about, and a bunch of us went down to downtown Dallas, and I will never forget that night, talking to a homeless woman, talking to a woman sitting, waiting for the bus stop. It probably meant more for me than it did for the people that I talked to that night, but I will never forget that experience of don't think about it, just do it. If it's for God, then don't think about it, just do it. And I actually thought about that when I had the opportunity presented to do a podcast. That thought came to mind. Jenny, don't think about it, just do it. Just jump in. Jump in for Jesus. So thanks, Dusty, for giving me that life lesson that I have literally leaned on all these years. Here's my friend, Dusty Bean.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Thanks for being on Love, Hope, and Stories.
Thank you for asking me. This is going to be fun.
Okay. So I should tell everybody that we met when we were in Bible college. You were actually one of the first friends that I met.
I think I was the first.
You weren't the first.
I'd like to think that I'm the first.
You weren't. I'll bust your bubble. But you were one of the first, and you were one of my best friends while we were there.
You were mine.
And we I was thinking about the big red barn. Isn't that what you called your truck?
It was the barn or the big red barn or I was reminiscing recently about towing people behind it in the parking lot at Southwestern when it snowed one day.
Yeah.
We did that one day. That was awesome.
And do you remember going to the snow cone stand with all the people?
Oh, golly. Like, we'd pile up in the back of that thing, and we'd drive all over Waxahachie and everywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why don't you tell people who you are? Who are you? Where do you live? What's going on?
My name's Dusty Bean. Mm-hmm. I live in Artesia, New Mexico, where I I'm born and raised. I teach ninth grade health in Artesia Public Schools. I'm also the head golf coach here.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures with some football players. Do you do that too?
I coach football. Yeah, I also coach football. I do that too.
Okay, that's fine.
But
Yeah.
You're married.
Golf's my passion. I am married. I have the most beautiful wife in the world. Mm-hmm. Her name's Raylan. And then I've got a 10-year-old little redhead firecracker named Kyle Bean. And then I've got, I just think she's the prettiest little 7-year-old daughter in the world, Daily Rose Bean.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She's my snuggle bug.
I love it. So when I think about my college years, my Bible school years, you're definitely a huge part of it. And because we had classes together, we were in the same major. We were both in youth ministry.
Yep.
And you helped me find an internship.
I did.
Yeah. Yep. There was a lot of us
that did. For a season.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I just remember, it was a lot of fun. It was a learning experience for sure, but a lot of fun. I just remember us dreaming about what ministry was going to be like, this big ministry and what we were going to do. I remember
the world.
I know, right? I remember one time we were driving down I-35 in DeSoto. I remember exactly where we were. And you said, how many people do you want to be in your youth group? Do you remember this conversation?
No, but I don't doubt that that's what happened.
And I was like, I don't know. However many the Lord gives me, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. And you're like, I want 500 kids to be in my youth ministry.
Yep.
And then, we had that conversation about, are you ever going to be a pastor? No, I'm never going to be a pastor. Always going to be a youth pastor.
Yep. I didn't realize back then what 500 kids look like and all the stuff that goes with 500 kids. I did youth pastor at church with that many, but man, that was work.
Yeah.
I got close to Jesus.
So like I said, we were dreaming, right?
We were, you know, I think when you're young like that, you think you got it all together, you know, and you don't realize how much you don't have together.
Yeah. I mean, you have no point of reference, really, except what you've seen done, what you came from.
Neither one of us came from really a ministry family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so all we knew what to do was dream.
Yeah.
That's all we knew to do.
Yeah.
So
now you're a husband and a dad, and I saw that you were the New Mexico High School Golf Coach of the Year.
I was. 2017, our boys and girls, both our boys and girls team won, which doesn't happen a lot, so they named me the 2017 High School Golf Coach of the Year, and that was a big honor. That was a big thing, because now that the years have passed by, this is my 13th year as a golf coach.
Wow. Okay, so tell me the story. How'd you go from way back when to now? What's happened the 20 years?
Oh, man, 20 years. Let's go on down memory lane. Here we go. You ready?
Yes, in the big red barn.
Taking a walk. Let's get in the truck. Take a drive. Here we go. So I started playing golf when I was like 6 years old. I fell in love with it. And the reason I fell in love with it, I wasn't at home. And, you know, now that we're parents, we fight that iPad battle. Mm-hmm. And we fight that TV battle, Disney Channel, and all that stuff. And I never had that problem. My parents went through a divorce, and I just didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was tough on this little teenager that didn't know what life was like. And so I started playing golf, and I got pretty good at it. And I ended up playing a little junior college, New Mexico Military Institute. And I played there for 1 year. And after that year, I was asked, I wasn't really asked not to come back. I just didn't, I didn't make the grades.
Okay.
I had a 0.75 Tell the truth. GPA. Yeah, that's the truth. I had a 0.75 GPA, and my dad basically said, look, we got to figure something out. And I said, yep. Sure do. So I switched that, and I moved home, which isn't very far, but I moved home, and our golf pro was like, hey, man, come work for me. And so I started working at our golf course here and just really learning a lot. I think that's where I really learned how to mentor somebody. how to be a mentor, was working for our pro here. Because he really took me under his wing and said, look, this is what it's like. This is what it is. And that's what mentorship is. Mentorship is taking somebody and saying, okay, let's put you in the fire. Mm-hmm. Well, not too far, but just your tippy toes, and let's teach you what it's like, mm-hmm. you know. In the meantime and all that, I'm helping, you know, I fell in love with Jesus when I was like 12 years old or something. Mm-hmm. And I've been helping with camps, and so I'm working at the golf course. I'm driving back and forth to college, a little community college here, and we go to camp, and this dude stands up and says, hey, we got this Bible college in Dallas, or south of Dallas. We'd love for you guys to come down there. And God really put on my heart, hey, I want you to do this. You need to go do this. And it didn't make any sense to me, because I was like, at the time, I was like, I'm going to be a golf pro. That's what I'm going to be. And it was right after that camp that God showed me, no, you're not. Mm. No, that's not what I want you to do at all.
So your heart for it changed after that?
Heart for
golf?
For golf? My heart, no, I still played golf, a lot of golf. Mm-hmm. I loved the game. I just didn't want to work for it.
Okay.
I just didn't want to work in that industry, you know. And so in 1996, in January, I came in mid-semester, came down and started school at Southwestern, and loved it. I mean, that was my niche. I mean, it was where I never wanted to come home. I'd stay there over Thanksgiving break. I'd work security. I'd find odd jobs. I didn't go home a lot. Matter of fact, I think I went home with you one time, just to go, and had a great time meeting mm-hmm. your family. And just, I didn't ever want to be at home, because my home was pretty dysfunctional at mm-hmm. the time, and it's gotten better. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But at the time, it wasn't a place I wanted to spend a lot of time at. So college, Bible college, just really became my home. Mm-hmm. And it's where I really grew, and my personality really flourished, and just had a lot of friends, had a lot of people that I loved and that loved me. And but then I graduated from there in 2000.
And they made you leave.
They made me, because I didn't want to. Honestly, in all honesty, I was living at North Campus, and I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but I honestly graduated from college, you know, walked across the stage, got my diploma, went to North Campus, got my stuff out, loaded up my truck, and cried.
Aww.
Tears rolling down my face, and I don't even remember the alma mater of the school, but I sang it. And with tears rolling down my face as I pulled out of the parking lot. That's a true story right there.
Dear old and, Southwestern.
Yeah. And I just,
yeah.
That place just meant a lot to me. It really did. And so I went into youth ministry thinking that, you know, here I am. Look at me. Let's conquer the world, because mm-hmm. that's what I really thought it'd be like. And went to my first church in Lufkin, Texas, where I wasn't the youth pastor mm-hmm. at first. I was the master's commission director mm-hmm. and led the master's commission there. And, you know, really that's, you know, really gotten the mentorship. And, you know, I was mentored while I was in school. I worked for a church and had a great youth pastor, and he just really, I think he poured into me more than a lot of other people. Maybe he needed to, mm-hmm. but he just really poured into me everything he had. And so going into a master's commission setting, I was going from being mentored to now mentoring,
right.
You know, so I was just kind of like rolling over in bed, you know, I mean, it's just, that's what you just fall right into it, you mm-hmm. know? And so I took that job, had a great ministry there, and then it kind of changed from master's commission director to junior high youth pastor, you know. And then I realized, you know, it's time to do something different. So I moved back to the Metroplex mm-hmm. and took a youth pastor job there, and realized at that point that was a harder job than what I'd realized. Mm-hmm. That being single, being young, being, just there's a lot of just different things that we fall into and sins that we fall into and things that we do. And so I just made some really dumb mistakes mm-hmm. and ended up being taken out of ministry there. And a buddy of mine called me from Haines, New Mexico. And he's like, "Hey man, I know you're going through a tough time. I love you and I need a youth pastor." And he said, "Why don't you come down here and let me work with you and we'll get you on track." And I was like, "Cool." I moved from there to Hobbs. And that's where my youth ministry became big. I mean, we started, it was like 25 kids, and there at the end, it was, 200-300. I mean, it was packed out. We're building a new building. We're doing different things. But again, still single, mm-hmm. still bonehead, young guy, and made mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, I realized, I got to do something different. Mm-hmm. And so I left Hobbs. I came home. I was working in a hydraulic shop, which, I knew nothing. I'm around these grown men that cuss, and I just left Bible college a couple years ago, and I don't. And, I'm in a whole different setting, and I knew nothing about hydraulics, but the owner was a good friend of mine that I had played golf with for decades when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So I'm working in this hydraulic shop, and I go out to the golf course after work one day, and one of my coaches, when I was growing up, I'm getting out of my truck, and I'm going to walk down to the putting green, putt a little bit or something. And he stops me and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm just hanging out. What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I just got the head golf coach job." He said, "Why don't you come be my assistant?" I mean, "Hey, how you doing? Not where are you working?" I mean, I hadn't seen him in a few years. And he's like, "I just got this. I want you to be my assistant. I saw you walking down here and was like, yep, that's the guy." Immediately I was like, "Yeah, I don't have to pray about this one. Yep, that's what, yes." And so, that was 13 years ago. And because of that, because him coming up to me and saying, "Hey, I want you to do this," that's when I started substitute teaching, because I couldn't work in the hydraulic shop and still coach golf, because mm-hmm. That takes time and they want you working. And so I started substitute teaching, and I realized when I started substitute teaching that, I've always said God called me to kids.
Yeah.
That's just where I want to be, that he called me to kids. And we had talks that I'd never want to be a pastor ever. Mm-hmm. I'm the youth pastor the rest of my life. And I really think that's true, because I started subbing, and I realized when I was subbing, when I was youth pastor, and I didn't have to make those kids be there.
Yeah.
They were just there. And I only got them one night a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe two if they came on Sunday to discipleship or something like that. But I only got them really one night a week. And I had to entertain them to get them there. Mm-hmm. I had to do something in youth ministry. You could play a game, cool music, something like that, entertain them to get them there. But when I teach school, they have to sit there and listen, and I get them every day.
Yeah.
And so I really realized that this is awesome. this is what God's called me to. This is where I'm supposed to be. And so now, fast forward 13 years, I became the head golf coach 3 years ago. The guy that hired me is now my assistant. And in all that, I started as a PE teacher, which was the youth pastor side of me. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
And now I'm teaching health.
That's so funny, because when we were in youth classes, one of our classes was recreational leadership. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'd pull from when I was still teaching PE, I'd pull from that class. And I was like, why didn't I do this 20 years ago?
Wow.
So it's neat how I'm teaching health, and health, I tell everybody the reason I love health is because PE's like the games guy, youth pastor, mm-hmm. and health's like the preacher, youth pastor.
Explain that.
So in health, you know, the content of health, standards and benchmarks are, you know, eat right, STDs.
Yes.
Things, I mean, all these different life choices mm-hmm. that we have to make. And I've made some pretty dumb life choices. And it's like God went, hey, I prepared you for all of this. So one day you could sit in front of a bunch of ninth graders in Artesia, New Mexico, and say, hey, look, this is what happens.
Wow.
This is what, when you do this, this is what happens. And
so he totally redeemed that season of your life.
Absolutely.
He redeemed it and flipped it and made it for your good. Wow.
Now, part of that is that I really believe me and God have had this conversation where if I wasn't faithful in that time mm-hmm. to him, not to a church, not to fill in the blank, but to him,
mm-hmm.
then deal's off kind of thing. I mean, that's what God really put on my heart, was that I had to be faithful to him. Number one, first.
So can I ask you about that? So when you were in that season of young minister, you're single, you said you made some big mistakes, and yet your heart was still so tender towards the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Can you kind of explain what that was like? I mean, your struggle and your relationship with God.
Yeah, so I knew it wasn't God's fault.
Okay.
I knew, you know, I made this mm-hmm. decision. I'm the one that messed up. It wasn't God. God's perfect. He's God, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you this story, but I will. So going back to youth camp, the summer that I really felt like I got called, I put quotation marks in the air right now, called.
Right.
To ministry, which we'll talk, that's another podcast.
Yeah.
But the summer I really felt that, I can remember standing, you know, the altar call time to camp. And I remember going down to the altar call and praying. And, you know, I didn't say, you know, this really kind of crazy Pentecostal prayer. All I could do was say, you know what? I love you, Jesus. I love you. 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 And it may have been 5 minutes, but it felt like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
All I could do was say, you know, and not that I love you. 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 And I relate that to marriage, that, you know, I look at my wife and I'm like, man, ooh, I love you. I can't say anything else, but I love you. I love you. I love you. You frustrate the crud out of me sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Okay, you're making me a little uncomfortable now.
So I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. The relationship that I had with Jesus was, I love you.
Yeah.
That's all I want. That's all I want to do. And so, even through my mistakes, even through being a bonehead, 21, 22-year-old, 25-year-old boy, man, even through all those mistakes, I loved God. Mm-hmm. And I that's what I would tell anybody, is in your relationship with Jesus. You know, I think sometimes in our discipleship classes, we forget to learn how to love God.
We get taught God.
Wow.
It's real easy to teach the Bible. It is. It's easy. You're good at it. You're good at it. Mm-hmm. This girl right here, listeners, Jennifer, she could teach the socks off anybody out there. But we forget to fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. And that's where the relationship comes with. You know, I just look at David and I think about David just kept loving God. Mm-hmm. He looked down at Bathsheba. And then when kings were supposed to go to war, you know, he stuck there doing that.
Yeah.
You know, but he just kept loving God. And that's what I felt like I kept doing was I don't ever want to say that I'm like David. No, I'm not at mm-hmm. all. I'm not David. But that's the only model in the Bible that I can look at and go, you know, do that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I just finished reading his story. I'm in the chronological Bible plan, and yeah. I'm like 25 days behind, but I just finished and just finally got to Solomon. And his story is really, it really is up and down, but there's still a steadiness to it.
Right.
You know,
and that's kind of what I was like in that time was, yeah, I made dumb mistakes. Yeah. It cost me my job. It cost me my dream. It mm-hmm. cost me my, you know, fill in the blank relationship. It cost me, you know, just where, you know, I let humans down. Mm-hmm. I let teenagers down that were counting on me and believing in me. I let them down. I still love God.
And so it's not over.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No. I always kept saying, you know what, God? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm sorry that I just took it in my hands for a little bit. I love you.
So you said if you had stopped doing that, that's where God's hand of protection and guidance would have.
Yeah.
That's where you feel like that would have been broken because your love relationship continued. I think a lot of times when people mess up, it's like we feel this huge wall that we choose not to engage God, you know, like guilt and shame and sin. We just wear it and we just carry it around and we let it keep us from God when God's saying, dude, that's what I came for. That's why I'm like,
that's what I'm trying
to give you is freedom and redemption from that. So just out of your free will, you just kept loving him.
I knew it wasn't his fault. I knew this wasn't him. This mm-hmm. was me. This was earthly me that made these decisions. And I just kept loving him. Just saying, man, I don't have one doubt in you. I don't have one doubt in who Jesus is in Dusty Bean's life.
Wow.
And I think that's why God has taken me full circle. Mm. And he'd do it for somebody else.
So you're doing ministry. You're not in a church, but you're doing ministry in Artesia in your everyday life.
Yes, ma'am.
But you do have restrictions on what you can't bring a Bible into your class
Well, honestly, I work for the best public school district in the world. Our superintendent is my neighbor, lives right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I asked him one day, I said, hey, you know, I kind of want to bring my Bible to class. He goes, you better. You're going to need it.
Wow. I'm like,
okay. You know, and I mean, so I don't, here's what I do. When I'm in class, I say, hey, look, I really want to tell you guys this stuff. and if you want to stick around, I'll share it with you. But right now we're going to talk about this right here, you know, and every now and then I'll have one or two be like, hey, what else did you want to talk about? Oh, dude, let's talk about. So if you have a relationship with Jesus,
just go there,
you know, you know, and so, yeah, I do that. Honestly, I do it. I don't bring it up in class because I don't want to put my bosses in that position,
mm-hmm.
you know, but man, I,
what are they going to do? Fire me? I mean, I love this statement. Somebody, I don't remember who taught me this, but if they beat us up, God will heal us. If they kill us, we'll be with God. Either way, I'm pretty golden, you know? So if I get fired, oh man, God, where are we going next? Maybe this circle is a figure eight,
wow. You know?
Where are we going next? Cause this is going to be fun. I just love you, you know? And so I've just developed, and I want to say, man, it's taken some time. It's taken some heartache, and it's taken some just, you know, you're an idiot, Dusty, just a dumb idiot kind of days. And really having those conversations with yourself, honestly, which I have, it's taken a lot to get there, but in all honesty, that's where I'm at. I'm like, you know, what are they going to do? And I teach at a public school, and I don't want to put my bosses in the situation of, you know, but I have some great backers in my school.
Yeah.
And they love the Lord. You know, kind of small town America, but you know, if you're listening to this and you're an educator, we can all stand up for Christ.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, have you heard of, well, no, you're a man. Never mind. There, I have a really good friend who I hope to have her on the show, who has a nonprofit organization called We Teach Joy, and it's for Christian women public educators. But you're
a, I have, but I you're have a not man. Heard of that.
Yeah, you're a man, so never mind.
Well, but maybe, I mean, just because I'm a man, girl.
But that's their thing. It's like, you are on the mission field.
Yeah. See, I've had some pastors that have been like, oh, you're not in ministry anymore. There's some people out there that really, if you're not working for a church, you're not really in ministry. And I just don't agree with that at all. I really feel like that my mission field, I walk into every day, you know, and, you know, same thing goes, you know, for a businessman or a businesswoman. I mean, you walk into your mission field and there you are, you know, what are you going to do with it? You know, I do this, and again, it's kind of one of those, what are they going to do to me things? But, one of the things that I started doing when I was the head coach was, you know, when you see football players and they gather around in the middle of the field and they pray and that thing, well, in the game of golf, you don't really see people pray, you know, I mean, you just don't, there's not a time, quote unquote, for it, you know. Everywhere we go, we have to drive to get there. And when we leave the parking lot, I just say, hey, I'm about to do this. If you want to pray with me, you just say amen at the end. If you don't, you just put your headphones on and forget I did it, you know. And I just say, hey, Lord, I just pray right now. You get us there, you get us back, and you let us have a good time. In your name, pray, amen. You know, just that quick.
Yeah.
And just things like that. Before we tee off, we get together as a team, and we say a prayer. And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, okay, guys, who wants to pray? No, coach, you pray. Okay, you know. Shoot, I don't mind. Let's go. You know.
Yeah. But awesome.
I tell them, you don't have to do this. This isn't something you have to do. If you don't want to, it's okay. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I'm the head coach, we're gonna do it. We're just gonna make that part of our tradition. I had this youth pastor son on our team one time, and, you know, here's this PK, you know, which I didn't know what a PK was until I went to Bible college. I had no clue.
Yeah, me neither. You
know? I was like, what, has he got something? Would he catch it? What? You know, I mean, what's it? He's got PK. What's that? You know, that's weird.
I love it.
I had no clue, you know, and then I found out there's an MK, and I'm like, oh.
What is that?
What do you do?
Okay, so those are pastor kid and a missionary kid for kid, those who are like me and Dusty that didn't know.
Had no clue what those were. So I have this PK on my team, right? And so I'm thinking, here's this kid, been raised up in church, which he was. He was a great kid, loved the Lord. You know, so we'd be pulling parking lot back. Hey, Spence, pray for us. Oh, God, okay, amen. You know, he'd pray some short little prayer, amen. Well, about the fourth or fifth time, it had been a couple of times. Been a couple of times that I asked him to do that. He comes up to me and he's like, "Coach, why do you keep asking me to pray?" I'm like, "Well, Spence, you love the Lord. You love Jesus." He's like, "Yeah, I do. But I don't like praying out loud." Well, all you had to do was tell me, you know. Okay, cool. You know, I mean, it was just like, but through that, I was like, "Spence, hey, look, we're teaching these other guys, you know." Mm-hmm. And had this whole mentorship moment about how, you know, we got to step out of our comfort zone sometimes. Wow. Sometimes we have to, you know, in order to bring those people to Jesus, you know, we have to step way out of our comfort zone and do something else, mm-hmm. and do something we're not comfortable doing, you know. And so just times like that, I think every youth pastor should have to be a teacher. Now that I've gone through it, yeah. now that I've, you know, I'm on the other side of it, which in all honesty, in my mentorship times, you know, one of the other guys that were being mentored with us, he was an education major. Mm-hmm. And now he's a youth, or he was a youth pastor. Now he's on staff of church in Florida and he's the media director, but he was an education major and we used to make fun of him.
You know, I was going to ask you, looking back, do you wish that you had changed your major?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as far as education goes, there's two things I wished I'd have done. I wish I'd have graduated with an education degree. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't want to do youth ministry.
Right.
Not that I didn't want to do that. Not that I wouldn't have. I'd have gone and worked on a drilling rig if that's what God would have told me to do. But not that I wouldn't want to do that. But yes, I wish I would have graduated with an education teaching degree. And I wish I'd have got. That's what I, the other thing I would probably tell my 21-year-old self was, look, just stay in here and get your master's. Mm-hmm. Because if you ever do go into teaching, it just helps. It helps to have that master's.
Yeah.
I mean, some school districts, when you're hired on, if you only have a bachelor's, some of them make you get a master's. And if you don't get it, and some of them are 5 years. If you don't get it in 5 years, then they say, okay, you don't have a job anymore. Mm-hmm. So I that's the two things I would tell myself. My wife has a master's. She's amazing. You know, the other thing is in teaching, it pays more to have a master's, you know?
Okay. Two last questions.
Okay.
Let's talk about you being a daddy.
Oh, golly.
What?
I'm going to cry.
Okay. I always will remember my dad, like every time we ever left the house without my parents, he would always say, "Remember what your last name is." Meaning, don't you go out there and embarrass us, you know,
right,
like you remember where you came from. So what is it that you think your kids are going to say, this is what my dad said? Do you know your fatherhood that well?
I hope, well, I don't know what they're going to say, but what I hope they say, mm-hmm. I hope my daughter, because I'm big on this and, you know, talking about my, this goes back all the way to that camp service that I talked about. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids I love them all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I hope that, you know, and I guess the youth pastor side of me sees this too, was I had so many girls in different youth groups that were like, my daddy left and he doesn't love me. And, you know, all this stuff. I never want my daughter, especially, to ever feel that way. Mm-hmm. And so I tell my kids, I, you know, hey, I love you. I love you too. You know, and if they don't say, I love you back, I'll be like, hey, I said, I love you. You know, and they'll kind of roll their eyes. I said, I love you, you know, kind of.
Yes, I can picture it.
So I'm pretty persistent on that. And I've even done that. So last year I started doing that with our football team, which we're not talking, that's not talking about a daddy, but to some of those kids you are.
Yeah.
You got to understand that. And so we talk about having a football family and about how, you know, we're sacrificing time away from our family as coaches to be with this family. And so I started doing that with some of my players and I'd look at them. I'd say, hey, I love you. You know, and it went from, I had this kid one day and he was like, Coach, you chewed my butt out today. Yeah, I did. You're right. But I love you. And I just smile at him. you know, kind of give him the grin, you know. And at about the third or fourth day, that's the very first of the season. My third or fourth day, they go, you know, kids would start leaving, and I wouldn't say it, and they go, "Hey, coach, I love you."
Wow.
I love you too, bud. You know, and that's brings up a whole stereotypical male football, you know, and wall. It just rips it down, mm-hmm. you know, because we're not supposed to do that.
Wow.
You know, we're not supposed to do that, but we should. Mm-hmm. We should tell each other, "Hey, I love you. I just chewed your tail out. And you didn't do the right thing, and I corrected you, mm-hmm. you know, but I love you."
And that'll preach.
You know, come on, you know.
That'll preach.
So I hope my kids would say, you know, my dad made me tell him I love him all the time, you know. Yeah. But I hope my kids would say, you know, in everything, our daddy loved us.
Yeah. That's good. I love it, Dustin.
No matter what happened, no matter what we did, mm-hmm. you know, he'd rip us. Oh, yeah, with that voice, you know, daddy's got this voice that you know, and I do. Man, I've got the dad voice down. And when that voice comes on, you better pop to.
What's the secret to having that kind of a voice?
You gotta like, tense up your abs.
Uh-huh.
Try it.
I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing.
Stuff.
Are you on Spotify? Do you have a Spotify? You ever go?
Okay. I was listening to some other episodes mm-hmm. of Love, Hope, and Stories.
Yes.
And so I just got a Spotify.
Okay. Great.
I've been trying. I don't know how to do it yet. Because I'm not that young guy anymore. So after the show, you're going to teach me how to do it.
Okay.
But well, I have one now.
We have a playlist, Love, Hope, and Stories playlist. And right. I feel like stories always have a song, or songs always have a story, you know? Can you think of a song for your story?
Something with faithfulness. I mean, and you know, I'm not a hymn guy. I got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I just never have really been a hymn guy. But you know, if you sit there and you think about the lyrics to "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Wow.
You know, I mean, I hate to say that cause I'm really not a hymn guy,
but it's good stuff.
But man, it's alive. When I start thinking about that I'm like, yeah, you're pretty faithful, God.
Mm-hmm.
You never left. You never left. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't leave because I didn't deny you. But you never left.
Or maybe that's just his character. He didn't go anywhere.
Maybe that's just who he is. Where would he go?
Yeah.
I'm just going to chill right here till you come around.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I love it. It's going on the playlist.
All right. Great is thy faithfulness.
You know, there I always remember you with a guitar, and you could make up a song on the spot. That's one of my favorite memories from you.
Yep.
This would have been a whole different episode if you had just sung your entire story.
You know?
Next time. Well, thank you, Dusty.
We'll have a little sing-along. Thank you.
I was kind of fretting about, I need a guy voice because I don't want this to be a bunch of girlfriends on here.
Well, and then, it has been so far.
I know. Well, this is only season, this is only episode 5, so give me a little grace. And I do have some lined up, but you just happened to text at the right time. So you get to be the first male guest.
It was my pleasure. And let me just say, Jenny, I love you. And man, you've been my friend for... golly, 25 years or so, or maybe not that long, but we've been through some things, and you know, you're an amazing mom mm-hmm. and an amazing woman, and I've always seen God shine all over your face, mm-hmm. and that's the one thing about you that I just think's amazing.
You're my family, always
yes,
have
ma'am.
Been.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I so appreciate Dusty for sharing his story. He's the first to admit he's not perfect, yet I have always known him to keep choosing to follow the two greatest commandments, loving God and loving people, which truly puts joy out into the world. Today's challenge is this: don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in sin. Don't get stuck in a bad situation. Don't get stuck in a poor life choice. Hope in God's love for you, and then lean in and love God back. No matter what has happened in your past, your story's not done yet, and we always have the opportunity to love and hope in Jesus. If you know someone who could benefit from Dusty's story, please share this episode with them. Which makes me think, have you subscribed to the podcast yet? If not, you can do that right now so you never miss an episode. If you're on iTunes, just hit the big blue button that says subscribe. It's that easy. Also, when you rate and write a review for the show, it helps other people who are looking for some encouragement to find us. Let's have fun passing some love and hope around the internet. Until next time, I'll see you all on the Love, Hope, and Stories social media sites, including Spotify. Just search for Love, Hope, and Stories, and you can listen to Dusty's Add to the Playlist Song of the Week. And on that note, I'll see you soon.